We're in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's a very interesting story because it brings before us a picture of a mother. Of course, there's also mention made of a father and of a child, a son. So it is a family. And therefore, this message could obviously be preached on Father's Day, I guess, just as much as Mother's Day. But the focus of the story does appear to be the mother of that home. One thing I notice about this lady, of other things that are said, among the things that are written, are the words of verse number 8 of 2 Kings 4, where it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha," that's the prophet of God, "passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." Now that's an interesting title, isn't it? A great woman. The mothers of Scripture are indeed interesting characters, and none more so than this particular woman. We refer to her as the Shunammite because of where she came from. We don't know her actual name, but she's described as a great woman. And I'm glad that that can be said of most mothers. Mothers are great, aren't they? In the generality of cases, there are those occasional exceptions to that. But I know that in my instance, in my case, speaking personally, this would certainly have been appropriate for my own dear mother. She was a great woman. The same is true of my wife's mother. There are jokes that are often made about mothers-in-law, and I used to be able to be in the happy position of making jokes at her expense, which she always laughed at, but we got along really well because she was a great woman, a godly woman, like my own mother. Mothers are great people. And the interesting thing about this particular mother that I note as I read through this portion is that she almost never became a mother. She was one who was barren. We're reminded of other women in Scripture like that, Sarah, and various others like Hannah, who for a long time couldn't have children. And this was the case with her. And in fact, in verse 14, the description is given that she hath no child and her husband is old. So there's a problem right away. It looks as though that ship has sailed. It looks as though they're never going to have any children. And that's all right, if that's the will of God. We would never judge anyone for not having any children, because that's a matter for the Lord to open the womb in that sense. But here's the point. God in grace actually granted her a child. The Lord answered prayer. And it was in the case of Elisha, a kind of a prophecy that he uttered, because he said there in verse 16, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. God's going to give you a child. And she answered right away, kind of the way Sarah did all those years ago when the angel said she would have a child. "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." Don't be telling me lies. I'm not going to have any child. That was her unbelief at work. But yet verse 17 records, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life." God was good to her and her husband. Mothers are a privileged people. Not all women have the joy of being able to bear children or to understand what motherhood is like. It is truly a gift from God. So here's this woman of Shunem. She has a baby boy. But when he grew into childhood, and we learn of this in verse 18, when he was grown, and it means he was grown to a certain size, he was out of the early childhood, he was weaned. "It fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And when he had taken him, he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." Tragedy. Sad, sad event. However, being a woman of faith, she trusted God to restore that child to her. And so she immediately went quickly to see the prophet Elisha, that he might perform for her the miracle of resurrection. And as she approached, the word of God tells us that Elisha saw her in the distance. And he sent his servant Gehazi to meet her. And he instructed him to ask the woman three questions. Those questions are recorded in verse 26. Here is the command that was given. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. These three questions put before the mother from Shunem could easily be addressed to mothers today, and certainly addressed to them with reference to each member of the family. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And I would like to address these questions tonight. Let's think about them in turn. The first of these questions refers to the mother personally. Is it well with thee? Is everything okay with you? How are you, is the way we would put it today. Is it well with thee? Is everything good? And as we think about that question, I'm speaking to you tonight, and it may well be that domestically, within your home, and socially in your life, everything is as well as it can be. Of course, you'd like to go out a lot more. There's a lot of places you'd like to visit and you're not able to visit right now. You'd like to see a lot more family than you could, than you can right now. I know that all of these things are true for most, if not all of us, that are gathered. But here's the thing. You could have everything going very well for you in your home, physically, as far as your life is concerned. It may well be the case that you have a very happy domestic situation and you have a nice family. That's a good thing. That's a blessing. You should thank the Lord for that, if that is the case. Because sadly, where many people are concerned, there's much unhappiness in the home. There are homes that are ruined and wrecked and broken because of sin. There are people who have very sad domestic circumstances to deal with. We know all about the preponderance of divorce and separation in the day in which we live. Very often children are not happy because they're caught between the two parents who are warring and fighting. There are some folks, and they will tell you themselves, that they don't really feel like they live in a home, that they live in a house, because there's a lot of strife. And all families have their issues, we know that. But there are some who do nothing else, it seems, but fight and wrangle and argue and war. And the home is not happy as a result. Where I grew up, we lived in a street that was all row homes. The entire street was a big cul-de-sac of row homes. And I'm not going to give away any confidences, even though it's many, many, many years ago and some of the people involved are probably now gone. But just in case, I'm not going to mention the people's names. But there was a certain family in that street, and we used to call them the fighting blood, dot, 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 dot. That's how they were known. The fighting, and then the name. That's a sad, sad testimony, isn't it? That people in the street, and in fact in the whole neighborhood, would know you for that particular quality. That you're a bunch of fighters. That's all you seem to do. And what a privilege it is, therefore, by way of contrast, to have a happy home. Many don't enjoy that. But perhaps tonight you can say, in answer to the question, is it well? Yes, it's well with me as a mother in our home, because I have a good husband and I have children who are very well mannered and they look after me. I'm really blessed. They're kind to me. And maybe you've known some of that kindness even today. There are some poor mothers who have families who don't treat them very well. And that's a sad thing when the children of the home treat their mother with disrespect. A lot of times you find this with young people, and indeed those who are a bit older but still have parents who are alive, and they do not treat their parents with the deference and with the respect and with the honor that is due to them. My Bible says in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. When that is repeated by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, he calls it the first commandment with promise. One of the things that Paul in his epistles identifies as a mark of the last days, as a mark of days of apostasy, is that children are disobedient to parents. So let me say that if you're a mother with a kind and a good family, that's a blessing to thank the Lord for. Be thankful for that. And so in this physical, domestic and social sense, you might say in answer to the question, is it well with thee? Yes, it is well. But the question that I want to pose to you this evening is this. Is it well with you spiritually? Is it well with your soul? Now, every time I think of that, these words here, is it well with thee, and the answer, it is well, I'm reminded of that story that I told a few weeks ago of Horatio Spafford. I'm not going to go through all of that again, but many of us are familiar with the story of that man who wrote that hymn because of a tragedy. He lost his four daughters in a shipwreck, and his wife only remained, that already lost a young boy in early childhood. And Spafford wrote these words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I would contend that Horatio Spafford, the hymn writer, must have had in mind the words that were directed in a series of questions to the woman of Shunem. And the first of them is it well with thee? Let me just say to you that if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner, repenting of your sin and crying out to him for mercy, then it is not well with you. Oh, it may be well with you financially. It may be well with you physically. It may be well with you domestically and socially. But it is not well with your soul. And if you were to pass out of this scene of time as you are, it would not at all be well with you. There are some verses that really are like cross-references to these. You find them in Isaiah chapter 3. In verse 10 and verse 11, the Bible says, Isaiah 3, verse 10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. There you have it. Two polar opposites. The righteous, the wicked. For the righteous, it is well. For the wicked, it shall be ill. The Bible also tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the chapter 8, something really important. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. You see that? Very simple. straightforward message. I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Let me ask you again. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with you spiritually? Mothers, as they are spoken of in Scripture, there's one in particular that I'm thinking of. She is referred to as the Proverbs 31 woman. And ladies, you ought to seek to emulate the Proverbs 31 woman. It ought to be your desire to be able to be described as the Proverbs 31 woman. Because here's a woman who knows much of the grace of God in her life. Here's a woman who really is living the way that a mother ought to live. And among all the things that it says about her, she's hardworking. She makes to herself coverings of tapestry. She makes fine linen and she sells it. She delivers girdles unto the merchant. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Oh, this is a really great mother, isn't it? But it says also that her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. She looketh well to the ways of her household. What I find about the Proverbs 31 woman is she's very selfless. She's not a selfish person at all. She's not all about herself. She's all about others. She's all about her family and her loved ones and her children and her husband. And generally that's the way good mothers are. They consider others before themselves. But can I just say to you tonight, if you're a mother and you're not yet a Christian, could you just be selfish for a moment? Could you just stop thinking about other people for a moment and think about your own never dying soul? Because in the matter of salvation, you need to know, in answer to the question, is it well? It is well with my soul. Is it well with you in person, personally? Let's look at the second question. He said to her, is it well with thy husband? How's your husband? How is it with him? How's he doing? Is it well with thy husband? And let me address now not the mothers, but the fathers, the husbands. Is it well with you? That wife of yours is a believer. That wife of yours loves Christ. That wife of yours is saved, to use a good Bible word. But you may have a saved wife, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. In my early childhood, my mother had a very dear friend, and she had a husband who was not a Christian. And it broke her heart. It was a constant source of sadness and grief to that woman. But you know the saddest part of that? In much earlier life, he had been a man who professed to be a Christian. He had attended church. He read his Bible. He prayed. By all accounts, he was a man who was living for the Lord. And at that time, his wife was not a believer. And she used to make fun of him. And she mocked him. And then the time came when he just threw it all over. Stopped going to church. Stopped reading his Bible. Stopped talking about the Lord. Was living in some open sin. And here, wouldn't you know, the wife for whom he used to pray all the time got saved. And now the tables were turned. And she used to pray and pray and pray for him. But for most of his adult life, he was away from the Lord. As I understand it, before he ever went away from this scene of time and passed away, he did get right with God, and I'm very grateful for that. But listen, this often happens where there is one partner in the marriage who is a believer and the other is not. It's what we call a unequal yoke. Now, it's not good to enter into an unequal yoke. It's actually a disobedience to God for a believer to marry an unbeliever. But nonetheless, sometimes you'll have a situation where a wife is a believer and the husband is not a believer, and she prays constantly for his salvation and nothing ever seems to happen. And maybe I'm talking to someone tonight and you're just like that and you're thinking, God is never going to answer my prayer. I've been praying for years. Nothing ever happens. In fact, he seems to get worse. Well, let me encourage you. There's a little hymn that says, unanswered yet the prayer of many years. You shall have your desire sometime, somewhere. Because God answers prayer. But listen, if you're a husband and you have a believing spouse, you have a believing partner, what is it that holds you back from salvation? What is it that keeps you from Christ? But to return to the mothers, let me again ask the question that was asked here. Is it well with thy husband? You're a Christian. What about him? Is he saved? Those of you who can answer in the affirmative ought to be really thankful to God. I can hardly think of a greater privilege outside of Christian parents than a Christian spouse. Someone who can share with me the things of God. We love the same things. We have the same interests. We're on the same page when it comes to all manner of things because we believe the Scriptures. That's a great blessing. That's a wonderful thing when you have a converted spouse. You should be thankful to God for that. I think of the couples of the Bible, many of whom were believing couples. Abraham and Sarah. I think of Samson's parents, Manoah and his wife. I think of John the Baptist's parents in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. The scripture says in verses 5 and 6, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Here they are, both of them. And it's well with their souls. Of course, you could go into the later chapter, chapter 2, and how it speaks there of Joseph and Mary, again, a believing couple. What a blessing. What a blessing to have a Christian partner in life. But yet, if your husband is not a believer, it ought to be a continuous cause of concern to you, and you ought never to rest content until you know that it is well with his soul for eternity. Don't just take that for granted. Don't just kid yourself that your spouse is probably saved but just not living for the Lord. You see, sometimes when someone really loves that life's partner, they love that husband or that wife, they can't bear to think about the fact that they might actually possibly end up in a lost eternity if they really are not saved. And so instead of really getting under the burden and praying for them and seeking God with earnestness for them, I think there are some who kind of almost soothe themselves by the thought, well, he's a backslider. Or he's just not living for the Lord now, but he once did. And the reality is, he's probably not saved. Is it really well with him? Is it well with thy husband? If not, you ought to be concerned. You ought to pray and seek to win him for Christ. God can use you as a mother in the home where you have an unsaved husband. God can use you to reach that one for the Saviour. The Bible teaches us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it speaks of the unbelieving spouse. 1 Corinthians 7 from verse 13, the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if she be pleased to dwell, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. There's a blessing that comes on the family, even through one of the partners that's a true believer. Then it says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Now look at verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Now, it doesn't mean that she'll be able to truly save him, give him salvation. That's not what it means. But it's talking about the instrumentality of God in the gospel using her to win him. How do you know? But that you might be able to be used of God to save your husband. And 1 Peter chapter 3 shows us that by a consistent testimony, a believing wife can be a means of winning her husband to the Lord. Her life's partner can be saved through her testimony. Look at it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, it means the manner of life of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation or behavior coupled with fear. They're looking at that consistent Christian life, and it's a means of winning them to the Lord. Is it well with thee? Is it well with the child? That question there, is it well with thee, is a question for every saint. John Wesley used to open up all his small group meetings with the question, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? That's a bit of a deeper question than how are you? It went a little further down, didn't it? He was probing a little bit more. He didn't just ask the people at that small meeting, how are you? He said, how is it with your soul? How is your soul doing? How is your spirit faring? Really, how are you? You know, in life we often ask people that question, don't we? How are you? It's just kind of a habit that we get into. And perhaps it's a question that some people like to avoid, because answering it forces them to really take stock on the health of their souls. And maybe if I were to ask you the question tonight, is it well with thee? You would have to admit that you're not doing as well spiritually as you could be, and certainly as you might want others to think you're doing. I think it's a good thing to ask yourself regularly, how is it with my soul? A preacher once posed a series of questions to his own heart. What are the things that I'm engaging in that bring my soul closer to God? Second question. What are the things that I'm doing that are putting a wedge between God and myself? Number three. What are the things that I'm doing in my life that really make my soul to shine brightly and flourish for Christ? Number four, what are the things I'm engaged in that are draining the life out of my soul? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? So there's a question for the woman personally. There was a question about her partner. And then, of course, there's a question here for this mother as a parent. Is it well with the child? Is it well with the child? Now, in this particular case, the child had died. The child that God had given to her, he had a headache out in the field with his dad. He cried, "My head, my head." They carried him to his mom, and she had him dandled on her knees until 12 o'clock noon, and then he died. And here she is on her way to the man of God, and she's asked this question, "Is it well with the child?" Look at the answer. And she answered, verse 26, "It is well." What a woman of faith. What a woman of trust. What did she mean? It is well. It is well with the child. The child has died. What do you mean? It is well. I read a story of a man in the late South African War, the Boer War. His name was Major Child. That's right, C-H-I-L-D. And Major Child, at that time, was setting out one morning on a reconnaissance duty. And he had this sort of a presentiment that he might not return alive. And so he said to a brother officer that if he fell that day, he wanted it to be written on his memorial stone, "Is it well with the child? It is well." And it did fall out as he anticipated, but death had no terrors for him. And now he lies on the veldt there in South Africa with this question and answer above his grave. Is it well with the child? It is well. Suppose this question was put to us tonight. Is it well with thee? Can we answer, it is well? Is it well with thy husband? We can answer, it is well. Is it well with the child? We have friends, I think they're watching this broadcast, and I know they won't mind me telling this because they've shared this story publicly. Alan and Shirley, you're watching from Resharkin. I know you've told me the story of your little Emily and how that she went to be with Christ when she was only a small child, what, 5 years old? And you chose this text to be placed on her little grave because she was a believer. Even at that young age, she came to know Christ and testified to it of her love for the Savior. Tremendous testimony. But that scripture is on Emily's grave. Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now let me say, folks, you could have lovely children, well-mannered, nice children, and yet spiritually speaking, it's not well with them. Now one thing we can say about a great woman like this, a true mother, is that she has a great interest in her children. You can't say that about all the mothers of the world. We think of the awful scourge of abortion. We think of children that are abandoned, those that are adopted out by uncaring mothers. And I don't mean that to be an insult to any who might have not had any choice in the matter as a young girl. That sort of thing has happened. And I understand the sadness and the pain, at least I try to understand that sadness and pain. I don't suppose I could ever really enter into what that must be like. But there are some who didn't want to give up their children for adoption and felt like they had to because of the stigma or because of the day and age in which they lived or financial considerations or whatever. And sometimes those stories turn out really well. But in the generality of cases, a mother who is a real mother has a great interest in her children. And I can't understand any mother who doesn't have an interest in their child. It is true that even the greatest human instinct can be repelled and suppressed. Can a woman forsake her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? It says she can. Isaiah 49 verse 15. But real loving mothers are much too interested in their offspring to do that. But listen, our mothers and sometimes fathers as well, not guilty of a far worse crime than abandoning their children physically. And that is abandoning them spiritually. Not bringing them up for the Lord, but letting them go to the wind, go to the devil. Some people are so interested in finding a good station in life for their child, but they've no interest in the spiritual welfare. And yet, as I just indicated with little Emily, children can be saved as children, and they need to be saved. And Matthew 18 tells us how their angels do behold the face of the Father in heaven. Maybe there are children watching this tonight. Let me ask you, is it well with the child? Is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? Do you know Jesus? Have you received him as your Lord and your Savior? Oh, mum and dad may well be Christians. You may have siblings who are Christians, but are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? Are you ready to go to heaven? If you were to die tonight, would you be with Jesus? There is a happy land far, far away where saints in glory stand, bright, bright as day. Will you be there? You know, there is a friend for little children, another hymn says, above the bright blue sky. A friend who never faileth, whose love can never die. Do you know him? Is he your friend? We read of one in the Bible, young Samuel. Similar story to this, in that his mother didn't have children for the longest time, and she prayed and God gave her a son. One who was asked of God, Samuel, and she gave him back to the Lord for service. And when he was in the temple, he was lying down one night and he heard this voice. And he thought it was old Eli the priest calling to him. And he went to Eli a couple of times and said, you called me. And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. He said, go back to your bed, go back to sleep. It kept happening. So Eli said, well, Samuel, look, the next time this happens, just you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Samuel had his heart opened by the Lord. 1 Samuel 3 verse 7 speaks about that. You know, the Lord Jesus said, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me. Parents, mothers, what are you doing about your children's salvation? I know you can't save them, but are you praying for them? Are you living the life before them? Are you seeking to bring them up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord? Are you seeking to instruct them in the things of the Lord and praying that God would write these things upon their hearts? Is it well with the child? Mothers who are true mothers have a great interest in their children, but they also, you know, have a great influence upon their children. A mother is a key influence upon her child's life. There's no doubt about that. Mothers have a great influence, for good or for evil, because the children spend a lot of time in her company. And if we had time, we could look at some examples in the Bible of mothers who had a bad influence on their children. There was an evil woman in the Old Testament called Athaliah, and she turned her child against the things of God. Another place in Ezekiel, it speaks of the daughter being as the mother. And again, that's something that's very well illustrated in the wife of Herod. Herodias' daughter came in and danced before Herod and his friends. And when she said to her mother, what should I ask if Herod's willing to give me anything up to the half of the kingdom? What should I ask? And the mother told her daughter, you better ask for the head of John the Baptist. She was an evil woman, putting up her daughter to ask for the murder of God's servant, John. That's a sad thing. But then on the other hand, we think of Hannah, who had a wonderful influence upon her son Samuel. We think of Eunice in the New Testament, and Lois, the grandmother of Timothy. They reared him, they brought him up in the things of the Lord. And God did the rest. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Oh, we can train up our children for the Lord, and the Lord will do the rest. So mothers, can you say in answer to these questions, it is well? Can you say, it is well with my soul? It's well with my husband's soul? It's well with the souls of my children? We could broaden this out, of course, couldn't we? Is it well within your family circle? Is it well with your siblings and your relatives? Is it well with your neighbours? Are they saved? Is it well with all whom you know? In your place of work, is your boss a Christian? Or if you are a boss, are those who work for you Christians? Does that delivery man that comes to your door know Christ? Does that guy who comes to fix something in your home, does he know Christ? Oh, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities that the Lord brings our way to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. What about that salesperson you meet on a regular basis, that waitress, that person in the grocery store, that person in the hardware store? You know them pretty well. Is it well with them? Is it well with their soul? Are they saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? Is it well with your soul? The only way it can be well with your soul and that of any member of your family is by being washed in the blood of Christ. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Oh, that the Lord would bring you, if you're not already there, to faith in him. And if you are a child of God, that the Lord would use you, even as an instrument, to bring others into the knowledge of eternal life. May all of us this very night be able to say of a truth, in answer to the question, is it well? It is well. May the Lord grant it to be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.